Kelly Rose in for vacationing George Norrie. And also vacationing is Colin Andrews. So, Colin, I want to thank you very much for interrupting your Christmas vacation to spend these hours with us.
My pleasure, Hilly.
You're coming in loud and clear, so I thought you were in some remote area. Don't tell me where you are, but I had understood you were in a remote area, but the telephone line is very good.
It is a long way from where you are, that's for sure.
That's for you. And is it cold where you are?
It is. Yes, it is. Well, there's another clue.
All right. That's very Christmassy anyway.
That's right. Looking forward to that, Hilly.
Good. Colin, there are any number of reasons why I wanted to talk with you tonight and spend a number of hours with you, actually. So I hope you are well fortified there with water and tea.
The tea is brewed. We're ready.
Very good. So, as I said earlier, your life hasn't all been tea and crumpets.
No, it hasn't. That's for sure.
We'll get into all of that. But I want to, first of all, what's the word I want to look for here? Qualify, dignify, verify. Why you have the reputation you have as being the preeminent researcher into this strange phenomena called crop circles. In other words, what have you done over the past, 20 years that make you such an expert?
Well, first to say, Hilly, that, it is not I that has blessed myself with such a title. The media often do, but the facts are that I began in 1983 to research the phenomenon because I just happened to come across a set of five circles near Winchester, close to where I lived, just driving between my offices. And
in England,
it was really right. Yes, in England, near Stonehenge, and that really was the beginning of the research. But during the time that has elapsed between then and now, I've travelled the world to many countries to research, to investigate on the ground the same mystery. You know, I've written, co-written the first book and other books on the subject. I've provided technical and scientific reports to the Undersecretary of State to the British government in the Margaret Thatcher government, advised other well-known people like Lawrence Rockefeller, for example.
Well, you were on a grant from Rockefeller, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I was.
For some 3 years, as I recall.
Yes, that's right, Hilly.
And you wouldn't talk to anybody during all that time.
Well, no, because unfortunately, Mr. Rockefeller himself, and it wasn't from the Rockefeller Foundation, it came from Lawrence Rockefeller, was very interested and willing to fund specific projects directly related to crop circles, but didn't want his name really basically dragged in. So the fact that he was funding it, and I felt that I wasn't really at liberty and he wasn't particularly keen to be very public, although the results have been made very public. So there are 3 years I basically disappeared pretty well and made an announcement at the end of the three-year period about the percentages of the events in England that I felt, based upon the research, one specific project that was funded, the result basically was that about 20% had no clues whatsoever of people having made them. That was a Rockefeller-funded project, and that was really where I re-entered the public arena and where I began to receive the very heavy end of the parts of the public, mostly the research fraternity.
Well, let's
didn't accept that result.
All right, let's stop right there for just a moment,
yeah.
Colin. I am constantly amazed at how many people don't truly understand what a crop circle is and how many people who do believe in crop circles, who've read about them, who don't understand that so many of them are made by humans.
That's right.
In fact, the most beautiful of them all, it seems to me, are made by humans. You and I know many of the people who literally make them, and we've talked to them, and I have, and they, I keep saying, why are you doing this? Why do you go out there in the field and try and fool people? And I guess they get their jollies doing it, right?
They do, Hilly, but you know, it's what they're doing also, in my opinion, and of course everything, almost everything I say, you know, really doesn't, it shouldn't really be believed, you know, it's there for others to get out and check. All I'm doing is offering what I believe and what I've learned in the way of information. But you made a comment in setting this segment up that it's the most misunderstood subject, and I totally agree with you. It's most misunderstood because it has, within the confines of the actual subject itself, a material like symbolism that draws to it deep inner feelings and passions. You know, we see here and have seen the installment and institution of basically a religion built upon people that, and I'm not going to be knocking anybody throughout this. It's not my job. It's never interested me to counter other people's points of view. But all that I can say is it's misunderstood, in my opinion, because we have not embraced everything we're looking at. We have broken this down into what do they mean? Well, that sort of infers that all of them are genuine. I mean, if we're spending our time on what do they mean, rather than why did John or Bill or Doug and Dave make this particular design, who makes them? This is really how we've approached it, rather than, I would put my hand up and confess that I came very late onto this too, is to embrace everything, including, and this is the piece where it gets very controversial, including the people that make them. In my view, if this was intended to be at this time in our evolution, then it was intended to involve people, it was intended to test to the deception, the ability to understand what was in the minds of those people. Whose mind, in fact, are we looking at? It gets deep, and I guess we'll get there.
Let me jump into that to say that I've interviewed, gosh, I don't remember, three or four people who, you know, told me that they made crop circles and why they did it. But without exception, Colin, they said to me, that in designing, they go on their computer and they design these fractals and these gorgeous, gorgeous crop circles.
Yeah.
And without exception, they have said to me that they feel other directed in doing it.
Yeah.
Which is the point that you were on.
Absolutely. And it's part of, you'll hear this side of it come out in the Blackbird information later too, Hilly. That is the point. It's when you think of something, how much of that thought is yours and how much is not. It's how are we guided through our evolution and through our lives. You know what, I think it has to be very, very broad-minded here. I mean, I think one example of really trying to make more clear what it is I'm saying is this. Now, again, the listening audience will either believe or disbelieve, and that is their prerogative. But this is why I'm still here researching this after 22 years, and this is my example, which tests what it is I'm saying here. There was this one particular evening on a Sunday, I remember it clearly, in the 80s. I was going through a very, very, very difficult period with my first marriage, and I was laid on the bed, and I'm just giving you the facts, in Andover, England, very close to Stonehenge, where I then lived. And this is me, Colin Andrews, just me, I very clearly focused my thoughts upon a design, very simple Celtic design, which had never appeared, as far as I know, anywhere on our planet before, not as a crop circle. I had seen the others, and at that time, I think three of us were the only people looking at them. I had looked at this, and what I said to God, and again, that's a whole other subject I know, I prayed, and I asked for this design, and this is what I said, this design to appear in a field as close to my home as possible. Now, what I'm telling you is a fact. I know it can't be tested and checked. What I'm about to tell you can. The next morning, in other words, that night, it might have been at that instant, I had a phone call from Jeff Smith, who might be listening, a farmer in southern England, who phoned me up. We knew one another. They'd had crop circles before. In fact, we had researched one there a short time before, saying to me, we're harvesting a field, one of the very last fields to be harvested, in September, early September, had just come across another design. He described that design to me, and the hairs raised on my face, because within 2 hours, Busty Taylor, as we all know Busty, the light aircraft pilot, has been so helpful in this whole thing, took me up in the aircraft, and over the top, we had hours to research it because they were harvesting. And I looked down on that field and I cried, because what we were looking at was indeed the pattern I asked for in the field as close to my home as was possible, as fields that had not been harvested. Now, that's why I'm still here. I spend my life now trying to convince, in a way, people to believe some of the phenomena that has surrounded this. And this is why I believe it is so important to embrace the hoaxes, the people that are making them, or why they think to do it. Whose thought is it? I did not make the Celtic Cross that night. And if Doug and Dave made it, remember this was the Doug and Dave period,
yeah.
And they had admitted to me in front of the Today National newspaper, who broke their story, incidentally, that they did not make it, then if somebody else did I plant that with my mind, that pattern, into their heads? Did they, in planning to make that, put it into my head, or did something else? That's how wide and how deep this subject is. So when a hoaxer, or crop circle makers, as I think they prefer to be called, when they decide upon a design which fits into a theme which is appearing around the world, there's another problem. Whose thought is it? I mean, where are we going with all this? That's why I think it's misunderstood, is because we've broken ourselves down into camps of believe everything and everything's wonderful to sell books and movies and all the rest of it. Who's making them?
Well, let's
is this one real? Is this one man-made? Is that one?
Let's go back, before we run out of time here,
yeah.
Colin, let's go back to the point. You claim, because of the Rockefeller research, that 80% of the crop circles are man-made and 20% we don't know what makes them. Now, where does that come from? How can you give me some kind of scientific percentage like that?
Yeah, well, actually, that's rounded up. I mean, 2080, it was like 20.25 or whatever. That's rounded up simply for dissemination. It simplifies it, that's all. The figures, the work, the background, the clues on what all this was based upon is in an assessment CD. That's been available. Very few people, I think, actually want to see it because they really don't want to believe what's in it. That's available, Hilly, as is all of the backup to what I'm saying from the website that I think you've got up posted right now. It's called the Assessment CD. It shows that we do need to be a little bit more specific, actually. It was 2080 to 80% man-made in England during the period 1999-2000. That's not a worldwide figure. That was those patterns that were researched extensively under that grant of Rockefeller's in England only for the years 1999 and 2000. It is thought that it's a fair representation of the global situation, but of course that has not been tested.
You haven't quite yet told me.
No, I beg your pardon. Really, what I was saying is...
I've got 2 minutes here, Colin. What is it based on?
What it's based upon is this, that people making crop circles were being tailed. We had private detectives and agencies looking at individuals we already knew or suspected as making them. So that's physical, practical, on the ground. And so, in fact, some were filmed with low-light cameras making them. So that's backup hard evidence. We were looking for pressure on the soil, tracks in damage to the plants. The pins that were being placed in position to construct them at the fulcrum points. There were many, many practical and indeed aerial photography that showed the width of these tools that we then could see on the infrared and low light cameras that they were used making them. The width of the tool under their feet making them can be seen from aerial photographs, as can still be seen, incidentally, in many of the very gorgeous patterns we're looking at this year. So there's a lot more to that.
Okay, but the 20%, you're saying there's no evidence whatsoever.
No, none at all.
There's no footprints, there's no, nothing to show that man has been there.
That is right. In that period of time, and remember, I've also traveled the world. I've been out to Taiwan and Japan, into Mexico, Brazil, up into Canada, United States, across the whole of Europe, to the outback of Australia, where these things are also appearing. And that, I think, is a reasonably fair representation of their situation, too. In the 20%, you don't have the damage plans, you don't have the tracks in, you don't have the pins. The plant analysis, which I really leave to others. I'm not a plant expert, but the 20%, the more simple designs, also falls into the category that Levengood has, BLT group have tested with their plant analysis and comes up pretty well that they can't find any, they find unusual,
okay, we can talk about
Levengood. Supports the real phenomenon.
We can talk about Levengood in the next half hour.
Yeah.
And then a number of other things that I want to raise with you. So we've only just touched the beginnings of crop circles here. But as you can tell from my discussion with Colin Andrews, here's a man who has a tremendous body of information about what we will call the great misunderstood paranormal mysteries. So you stay tuned, please, as we move along. And I am Hilly Rose, sitting in for vacationing George Norrie. And my guest is sitting in for George Norrie, of course. My guest is Colin Andrews. And Colin, two quick things before we get too deeply into another subject. You mentioned in passing your website, and you didn't say what it was. And people, of course, can go to the Coast to Coast AM website and just hit the Colin Andrews name, and it'll go directly to your website. But for people who don't want to bother with that, do you want to just give your website?
Yes, thanks, Hilly. It's www.cropcircleinfo, standing for information, cropcircleinfo.com. So that's cropcircleinfo.com. And we've got a coast-to-coast button, which has been put on there for tonight, which will lead the listeners directly to the backup information to support the things that I'm telling you tonight.
Okay. Now I'm going to throw something at you. This is probably very unfair of me, but I just...
Be unfair to me then, Hilly.
No, you're being very forthright tonight. I came across this on a catalog, and I thought I'd just throw this at you, and if you don't want to answer it, you don't have to. But a guy by the name of Paul LaViolette, I think is the way he pronounces it, is coming out with a new book called Decoding the Message of the Pulsars, in which he says that pulsars, I'm trying to, because I haven't read the book, obviously, it isn't even out yet. He says the pulsars emit laser-like radio beams that penetrate through space, much like searchlight beams. He says that these beams, these pulsars, using force field beaming technology, are forming the crop circles. Now, he's got a whole book coming out on this. According to the publisher, he's been studying pulsars for over 25 years. Now, I know you can't tell me tonight what is causing these crop circles specifically, but do you have a feeling about what LaViolette is saying?
Well, it is only a feeling. As you also said, you haven't read, as I haven't read the book. I most certainly will do. I would immediately have grave doubts that he has, in fact, put his finger on the hot button, as it were, and that the reason that I do is that we have looked, I say we, that's the royal we, Dr. John Auburn in particular, who is well better qualified than I as a physicist, a PhD in the subjects that get very close to this, and he's looked at the laser, certainly. Because we've been looking at microwave as being a possibility here at levels that are sufficient to cause plant collapse. But there's a difficulty with this, because if you come from above, you're looking at pulsars and lasers and high temperature creating energy fields from above. I have no problem with creating a pattern, depending upon, of course, the distribution and the mechanisms that are used from above. But lateral movement is where I think your problem comes in. We're looking at plants that are moved from the vertical to the horizontal, all in one, and indeed sometimes multidirectional, it's true, but in an organized fashion. There has to be lateral movement. And it's hard for me to imagine that a pulsar from above, beamed in an organized shape, can create lateral movement. Plant collapse is not a problem. You can burn plants from above, and you can have them collapse randomly, but into an overall geometry. But when you're looking at intricacy within the design, like we see now, flowers and petals and goodness knows what, that kind of accuracy, I cannot feel you're going to create with plants that are moved into one particular position, left, right, clockwise or anticlockwise from above. I would doubt that this is going to go to fly. But however, I mean, doors are always open. You know, people have to be able to present their findings and their theories.
Yeah. Well, he apparently in this book, which isn't coming out until May, by the way,
right,
he indicates that these pulsars are in they're communicating with the universe. And they are sending us messages via crop circles. But you don't have to comment anymore. I have so much to talk to you about tonight. So give me a couple of moments here, please, and we'll get right back to Colin Andrew. And Colin, I want to talk about Operation Blackbird. I want to talk about the movie. But before I do that, there's just so much I want to talk to you about. What are you doing for the next 6 or 7 hours, Colin?
I'm here.
Okay. You mentioned Professor Levengood, and I don't want to get into a whole long thing about the work that he does, but for those who are not in the know, he studies these crop circles, or he studies the wheat or whatever, the flax, whatever it is, and he finds that there's an energy. And I won't get into the whole thing, but what I wanted to know here is there a difference? Has Professor Levengood studied the difference in the crops that are man-made, that we know that are man-made, and those that we don't know where they come from?
Yes, he has. And I'm certainly not going to dodge answering any of your questions, Hilly, but where it gets a little difficult and certainly highly controversial is here, right here, because it's actually a Mr. Levengood as far as he is a biophysicist, and
professor.
I think I did say Dr. Levengood.
Well, but, professor.
However, just to be, you know, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he has, is the answer. But the results that have come back from some of the designs where he was blind tested, unbeknown, of course, that means unbeknown to him, he was given samples that were filmed being made by people. It sounds like an awfully dirty trick to do on anybody, but you know, if we're taking this subject seriously and we're really wanting to know the bottom line, then we have to go for the bottom line tactics eventually to be certain that we're looking at the real good stuff. And I was instrumental in under the Rockefeller funding period, in sending samples with a group that he was working with to him, quite legitimately, I feel, as it's double-blinding the scientist. And regrettably, what came back was a mix of this result. It shows that this is the real thing. In fact, some of the best results we've seen from the genuine mysterious crop circle, when in fact this particular one that I'm now referring to was filmed being made in front of my own people and in front of a camera that we had running. We had another a farmer show us where some lodging had taken place due to heavy rain the night before. It had flooded off of a nearby highway and flattened the plants into an approximate geometry, just simply the design that was carved out by the flowing water. And those plants also were sent away as an area of lodging, and that came back also as a real crop circle. So I have problems, and it is now, of course, public knowledge that I have problems with some of the BLT work. But it's always a very difficult area because it sounds like it's personal, and it isn't personal. I have the greatest respect for the people that have done the work there and continue to do the work. I know how hard it is in a subject which is full of controversy. You've only got to say crop circle and you've got ETs and UFOs, you know, around your feet immediately. So I do respect absolutely that these people are trying to do a good job. But where it is wrong, where the results are wrong and they don't support any particular theory, you know, where the results are so mixed, we need to be very straight, very frank with it. You know, it's where politics so often go wrong. We need to be truthful, and that's why the blind testing took place.
Okay, so basically the bottom line here is you really can't tell.
I do not believe so, but I'm sure if you had Nancy Talbot on and Mr. Levingood himself, they would give you all of the very the reasons to support the fact that they can.
Okay.
But I have certainly documented proof where in that period of time they could not. So I still need to be shown personally, and who am I? But I haven't seen personally any scientific proof, apart from the magnetometers, that really nail this as being, here's the definitive scientific result, where forever now we will know the real from the man-made.
Okay, so that gets us back anyway to what we talked about originally in the basis of whether it's man-made or not, is it other-directed? So, you know, what is the main force behind it all? But let's move along here if we can, because the main reason I asked you on the program tonight is Operation Blackbird, information which you have not revealed for many, many, many years. You've kept the information secret.
Yes.
Why, you can tell us the story in a moment, but why have you withheld the information, and why are you now willing to reveal it?
Well, people that know me, Hilly, people that know me very well in my family, close friends, know that really I have difficulty in keeping secrets. I wear myself on my sleeve, as it were, and that's the way I prefer to be.
Yeah, but this one you've kept for 15 years.
Yes, it has. This has troubled me greatly, and I've been very conscious of the fact that I believe there were important things, and I know there were important things that took place at Blackbird in 1990, that the crop circle research fraternity should know about. And the reason that I have not up until now, and tonight, to be frank, is the big test. Obviously, this will be monitored. Every word is being listened to, and we'll know probably tomorrow morning whether I was wise in saying it now. As you know, you were in the audience in San Francisco, where I have already stated in public some of the information that I'm about to say with a little more.
Yeah, but you don't keep secrets, but you kept this one. Why?
The reason was that I was asked to pass a videotape to the majority funder of that operation, which was Nippon Television in Japan. They had 90% funded Operation Blackbird, and the reason they did this was to show on international television. They would have the film rights to a crop circle actually forming, if we were lucky enough to be in the right place, and we had every reason to believe, which I'll tell you about. Excuse me, I'm just drinking here at the same time, that we were in the right place to
have
a bit of luck.
Don't get into the story. I just, you know, simply, why did you keep it secret? Was it proprietary rights, as you're starting to tell me?
I was asked to hand this tape over, which did not contain a crop circle forming, and was claimed to have been the tape that would have had it on. In other words, the real tape, which had a crop circle forming on it, was removed, and I personally have never seen that again since. The reason that I kept that secret was clearly that I was put in an invidious position of knowing that I had done something wrong to the majority funder. If I had said anything at the time, the project would have been scuttled. And even now, that there is the involvement of the military in Operation Blackbird, which I am going to be discussing in more detail tonight, a secret operation which was going on, apart from Blackbird, which was the right hand the public were allowed to see, when the left hand was doing something else around Silbury Hill.
Okay, and so this was the British government you're talking about.
Yes, we're talking here about the British military and intelligence community that had that operation completely sealed up. They knew exactly what was going on. They issued D notices on the media, which the media know. BBC television personnel have privately asked me what on earth went on at Blackbird. They were issued a D notice from the Ministry of Defense to stop all broadcasts for 2 hours, and I know the reason to that.
Okay, now I've got 5 minutes before I have to, you know, go to the top of the hour here. So in those 5 minutes, can you briefly tell me what Operation Blackbird was?
Yes.
and the duplicity of the government and military?
Well, it's very hard to keep brief. There's so much that happened. But in brief, I'll do my very best here. There was a crop pattern formed in front of all of the cameras. That tape went missing. It was removed from the site, and a duplicate was inserted into the system, which showed what they wanted it to show.
Who is they? The military?
If I had named people, I think it's still very unwise for
me. Well, I'm not asking for names broadly. Somebody did this.
Somebody representing the military is what I have to say.
Go ahead.
A real crop circle formed on the 3rd or 4th of August when the media had been removed from the site. That tape, too, was removed from the premises. It was alleged that it resurfaced later and that frames from that footage are in a CD which is, as of tonight, being made available to the public on that website that I gave you, the Blackbird CD. The secret operation, which is actually, of course, much more important than what was happening at Westbury in Wiltshire, which was the public were intended to see, what was happening a few miles away around a very important site, which is Silbury Hill near Avebury in Wiltshire. It has the record. It is the pedigree. It's where real things are happening and where the military are aware of just about everything that moves over there. Over there, during Operation Blackbird, three designs appeared, a triangular formation, the very first ever recorded on the planet, appeared there. The military filmed a bright ball of light. I've seen that footage, and frames are also on the Blackbird CD, which is now available on that website and was shown in San Francisco, as you know. That is the very brief outline of Blackbird, but there is much more. On the night of...
Let me stop for just a second here so we all understand.
Yeah.
How can you possibly know where a crop circle is going to be formed?
Well, by the record. What we had in setting up Blackbird and the secret site, which incidentally, Hilly, I should make this position very clear. I was involved in discussions as to where the two primary sites should be. I was not at all aware, and not for weeks after, was I aware of how extensively the SAS and special services, military services in England, had been involved in the secret operation. Even people that I am still in touch with in the military seconded to the Princess Royal Barracks and Deep Cut that surrounds the Queen and the Royal Family. I'm still in touch with those people who were involved in part of this. When they arrived at Silbury Hill, which the public were not aware of, they themselves were surrounded in everywhere they looked by special services. These people were monitoring everything. And now the reason we had selected those two sites was that looking at the pins in the maps, in other words, the reports of where crop circles formed year after year, starting in 1983, although pretty certainly it began in earnest in 1976, we had the locations, and those locations repeated and repeated and repeated. And then we had eyewitness accounts, one of which, an important one, was Ray Barnes at Westbury in 1981. And we have film of disc-shaped objects in the same place. Busty Taylor took a unique one of within feet of myself and Pat Delgado, and again, that is on that CD.
Okay, now let me just understand this, because I only have a minute. You're saying that you sort of had a hunch where these crop circles were going to make themselves.
That's right, where they appeared over the years before.
You filmed these crop circles. No human was there in the field making these. Somehow made. And this film was stolen by someone
It was removed.
It was removed, and a blank tape was inserted.
No, not a blank tape. The tape that was given into the system as for analysis was from the same camera position as the one that captured the event, but it was filmed several nights before. In other words, it was known to have the same topography, the same landscape, but it had a different event.
Okay, I'm not understanding really why this was important. First of all, if you were filming for the first time the self formation of a crop circle, why would anybody submit, you know, replace that tape? But if it was taken from the same angle, what was different between the original and the replacement?
What was different between the original and the replacement? The replacement showed nothing happening. In other words, it showed a night when nothing happened. What happened the night a crop circle formed is it had a crop circle forming on it, and that was not intended, and people behind this, which was totally infiltrated by the military, we had uniformed military personnel with us on the site, as can be seen again on the Blackbird CD. The military, the government, did not intend that material. If we were lucky enough to see this form, they had enough personnel infiltrated into the organization to remove it. In other words, they did not want the public to see what eyewitnesses have seen. That was one of the reasons we were there at Westbury, was that Ray Barnes, a man walking his dog in 81, supporting the fact that I had researched them myself on that same site, circles that appeared on that site for many years. It's why one of the reasons we were there. But Ray Barnes witnessed a crop circle form in about 10 seconds, like all the other eyewitnesses around the world. And now here we are, lucky enough to get something on tape, and somebody decides, and that is, has to be nailed at the feet of the British government, decide we are not going to be seeing this. That's the importance of it. The importance is to put the pressure on the people that need to have the pressure put on them at this time, is that this is owned by all of us. This is not anything that it should be suppressed or will be suppressed.
So it's sort of like UFOs. A lot of people feel that the government, the United States government in this case, and the British government, are suppressing the sightings of UFOs and the information we have.
No question about it. I mean, I don't know. You've almost certainly had Nick Pope on. I went to many meetings with Nick Pope when he was in the Ministry of Defense in Whitehall up in London. And whilst he was working with the MOD, I know he's still employed by them, but when he was in the UFO desk there at Section 2A, he was telling me, and I think he has said publicly since, that 5% of the reports going into the MOD officially from pilots and the public, 5%, this is a large figure in my opinion, were believed to be, having thrown everything at them, satellite and all the other technology that the governments have at their disposal, 5% were probably extraterrestrial. But that's not what they tell the public. The public are just not supposed to know these things.
All right, let's take a brief pause here, take a few phone calls, and then talk more about Operation Blackbird, the forming of a triangle, and also the movie that's going to be made about your life. And my guest is Colin Andrews. Colin, and we have so much more to talk about, but let's take a few calls. Hi, first-time caller line, where are you calling from?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, sir. And your name?
Freeland Neal, N-E-A-L.
Yeah, okay, Freeland. What did you want to ask Colin?
I was in the Silvery Hill Formation in 2004 state, and I saw the crop circle people doing it, and I just wanted to ask him what he thought about, you know, that was one of the famous circles of the year, and I, you know, talked about.
Do you understand the question, Colin?
Yes, I think I do. Good evening, Freeland. Yeah, at that particular design, I was then back in the U.S., so I didn't. I got a lot of data about it that was sent over, the aerial photographs and the ground measurements and so on. I didn't personally see that. I did see many others that year. But by what I could see from the aerial photographs and the telltale signs of man-made construction, I know that it would dampen a lot of enthusiasm for me to say this, but I do strongly believe that that was made by people. That was based upon only the data that I was given.
Okay, let's go to the wild card line. Where are you calling from, please? Oops. That's not a good one. Let's go here to West of the Rockies. Hi, here on Coast to Coast.
My question is this. If 80% of these circles are man-made, isn't it highly likely that 100% are?
Well, no is my answer. 20%, of course, ultimately, it could turn out to be that you are right. But that would mean that we would have to call every eyewitness dishonest, that they are not seeing things forming in front of their eyes, that the cameras recording the material that I've just referred to at Blackbird, in fact, was under some illusion and it's something else entirely different. We have to account for the 20%. That's why I'm obviously still here looking at it, is that 20% really do defy logic. When you are able to enter into a rice paddy field without leaving tracks, and you're able to form a geometry without damaging those plants, even oilseed rape and canola plants that bruise very easily, these are things we need to explain away. I mean, if ultimately they are explained away and the people indeed were able to make them without showing these other signs, we then have to account for the magnetometer survey, where we have had designs that the magnetometer results, the distribution of the Earth's magnetic field, is mimicking the actual design of the flattened plants. And that's hard to imagine that is possible if it is made by people. We still perhaps have things to learn about flattened plants that indeed supports your statement, but that is where I am at the moment. I certainly don't have evidence that 100% of the 10,500 in the last 2 years in just about every country in the world, in just about all the vegetation in the outback of Australia, and all the things that tend to doubt the fact that 100% are man-made. But it's you would be entitled to come to that conclusion yourself.
Okay. I guess he's gone. All right, let's go to the first-time caller line. Where are you calling from, please?
San Antonio, Texas. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Well, I have a couple of short questions to ask you. First of all, it's a shape, not exactly a circle, but a couple of years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago in England, there was something that was supposed to be a reply from a message sent in the 70s from the radio telescope in Arecibo, Puerto Rico. That was supposed to be of some alien race claiming, you know, how their composition of the DNA is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This was investigated by a ufologist in Mexico, Jaime Maussan, who apparently went to England, studied the field, and apparently said he found radiation in some parts, and it seemed to be like in binary code, where there was radiation in a small piece, another piece there wasn't.
That's a pretty famous crop circle, Colin.
Yes, and regrettably, once again, I won't be very popular because I have spoken to pilots that flew over those fields or that particular field and saw the developing stages of the construction of that particular design. I could, although I frankly will not, name the people that I believe I could as having made that pattern. A lot of the effort, a lot of time was put into the research by a lot of credible people like Jaime Maussan, who I have a great respect for in Mexico there. But indeed the research should go on because, if we're embracing the fact that people are making them and why are they making them, et cetera, let's have all the data. But I don't think one should leave out of the equation that it was made by people if the evidence supports that it was. And let me just say that the first indication of anything in the field was, in fact, by a farm employee who saw only the grid. In other words, an outline with none of the infilling. This also applied to not a dissimilar design near the radio telescope at Chilbolton a few years earlier. And that also, we had the same information from people who overflew that in other words, it was constructed in stages. This was not a 30-second real event, which I think I think all, certainly all of the eyewitnesses do confirm that we are looking in the real thing at a very rapid construction phase period. And but this design that you're referring to arrived in a number of stages because of the complexity and the time required for people to make it. That's why you will tend to find that the very highly complex, requiring time and effort over a long period of time, are extremely remote. They are well away from roads. They are well away from visible advantage points because these people need the time to make them. I'm sorry to sort of dampen the enthusiasm with regard to that particular design, but that I'm just reporting simply the facts.
Okay, and I won't name names either, but I did talk to someone who claims to have made it.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that he made it.
No, it doesn't. But Hilly, I was also, as you know, advisor to the Mel Gibson movie Signs, the Disney movie.
Yeah, terrible movie.
A terrible movie. I quite agree. Awful for what they could have done for mankind, even in a movie, to have hinted at some of the real possibilities here. It defies imagination why they wouldn't stick with it. But however, I was during the period of the run up to the actual release of the movie, I got an amazing phone call from their PR people, one of the head of the PR for Disney, telling me that their chief guys, the big boys that plan these things and the lead up to them to get the hype, were in fact discussing signing contracts with certain individuals to go out into a number of countries to make intricate designs of faces and things like that. To increase the hype on the crop circles, to feed it in to the signs and to promote signs ultimately a few weeks later. So, it's multifaceted. Wherever humans get involved, they tend to shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah. One other thing, this caller talked about radiation. Nothing unusual about radiation being in a crop circle.
No, it's all been done. It has all been done. Unusual isotopes have been found in a whole range of crop designs in southern England. And I think that just stands. They're very unusual isotopes. So it's not new.
Okay, let's move along here. First time caller line, where are you calling from?
Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I was wondering, on the Blackbird project or thing, how many other eyewitnesses were there that come forward to confirm that it did actually happen?
Well, I can tell you that I saw the original tape, and I think I'm probably one of only three.
Well, forget the tape for the moment. The question really is, did you see it with your own eyes?
To see it form?
Yes.
No, absolutely, I did not. Remember, this was a 10-day operation. We had about 30, I think a few more than 30 individuals involved in manning the operation on 3 8-hour shifts. And I was not. I was in bed that particular night.
Okay. Well, there were people, though, that had to be, because
yes,
they filmed it, who
yes,
saw it
were.
Formed. And so the question is, how many people literally saw it formed?
On the scopes, I believe there were three.
Right. Okay. So that's the answer to the question. So it really happened, in other words. And you can verify that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so this disc that you were talking about earlier, does it show this crop circle being formed?
No, okay, I need to go back. I was in too much of a rush, I think, in setting this up. First of all, Hilly, I don't think we've stated what Blackbird actually is.
That's correct.
Blackbird was a surveillance operation in 1990 involving a whole series of high-tech, low-light, image-intensive fire cameras pointing down onto fields where there had been a record of not only crop circles reported by farmers, but also eyewitnesses seeing them form. So this was a hot spot where we knew we had a reasonable chance of getting something on film. And this was during summer 1990. And I've actually now forgotten your question, Hilly.
well, you said we did... You- Did we know what Operation Blackbird was?
Yes. Okay. Well, that's what it was. It was a surveillance operation to attempt to catch a crop circle forming
by the government or private.
No, this was set. Well, this is the problem. That's probably why this is not coming across too clearly. It was my idea, set up by Pat Delgado, the co-author of the ex-NASA electromechanical design engineer, co-authored Circular Evidence with me. He and I suggested to the BBC that we do this. They got in touch with Nippon Television Japan and co-funded. They 10% funded the operation BBC, 90% from NTV, unbeknown to us. So in other words, this was a private surveillance operation, which was non-public. It was not to be a public situation. We didn't want the problem of having people coming into the area. We wanted to catch a crop circle forming. That's what we were there for. Unbeknown to us, the exact spot that gave us the best advantage point looked to me personally to be public land. I thought it was. I suggested it was my data that chose the site. In fact, it was officially owned by the Ministry of Defense because it's on the boundary, the edge of the largest military exercising and firing ranges in southern England, in Europe, in fact, called Salisbury Plain. But so the Ministry of Defense had to be consulted, and they were, not by me, but by the BBC. What we then found on the first day of the operation, everything set up, everything ready to go, cameras rolling, personnel in position, is we have uniformed military on site. They ask us, two military officers ask us to leave the premises in a vehicle and to discuss certain aspects of the project, and from that was the technical equipment, the technical parameters of the equipment, bringing in their own equipment if we cooperated with having personnel on site. And this is where the whole thing became muddied. We had the Ministry of Defense involved and at many, many levels. So that's where the military became involved. With the site itself, we had photographed, I think this is where this question started, Hilly, some years before. We had photographs, I say we, Busty Taylor, had taken a photograph when we were measuring a simple crop circle on this site years before, and on that photograph he has captured, and again it's on the Blackbird CD, a white disc which was not seen by Pat Delgado, myself, or Busty when the photograph was taken. We heard a loud thump. It was just like something breaking the sound barrier, but it was a low thump like you might hit a hollow box or a desk. Just a whoomp like that. We, all of us, were looking at where the sound came from, which was within the crop circle itself. That coincided with Busty taking a photograph pretty well within parts of a second, I think. And on the photograph is this white disc. It's been shown many times before. It's the same spot. It's the same location. So we had many reasons to choose Westbury. There were many even more reasons to choose Silbury Hill, and I think that's probably going to make a whole another program.
Hmm. All right, Colin. And by the way, was it Silbury Hill that you recorded the first triangle?
Yes, it was.
I mean, this wasn't a circle, this was a triangle.
It was a triangle. It was a triangle that we had, and that is also on that CD. We had a triangle, we had what I would best describe as scrolls. Two scrolls, circles connected by scrolling pathways, looping pathways, with the triangle in the center. The military with low-light cameras, and it was only the military that were on that site, they filmed a very bright white light moving across the landscape just south of Silbury Hill. They got it on film, very clear images, which I was confidentially shown that footage, which is owned by the British Army.
Okay, we got to stop here, Colin. We can talk more coming on the other side of the break. Colin Andrews is my guest. I am Hilly Rose, in for George Norrie. We're talking with Colin Andrews about crop circles. It occurs to me, Colin, that there are people listening to us, or maybe they've turned us out by now, who haven't a clue what a crop circle is. Maybe we could just take less than 60 seconds to explain what a crop circle is.
I mean, they haven't been listening for an hour and a half or 2 hours without knowing what one was, I think. Well, or else they have tuned us.
Well, I've got to tell you, Colin, it disturbs me. My daughter lives in London, actually in Surrey.
Oh, right.
And, you know, I go there from, she's been living there for 25 years, for heaven's sakes. And I go there and I say, well, what about, you know, this year's crop circles? And she said, what crop circles?
Yes, yeah, isn't it?
And I say, well, you know, Britain is where all, you know, the bulk of the crop circles are. So certainly, you know, it's in the press.
Yeah.
You must read it in the Times or all the sensational, you know, they have all these sexy newspapers and print all these bare-bosomed ladies. Don't they also print the crop circles? She says, no, I've never seen them.
No, that's right. That's right.
it shocks me. So
yeah, I know it does.
So
I know it does. More and more people certainly have heard of them. I think it would be fair to say that most people have. But, it still escapes. It depends which newspapers you read, I guess, et cetera, et cetera. But a crop circle is a circular area of in which plants have been flattened, usually spiraled, clockwise or anti-clockwise, sometimes in both directions, in different layers, where the plants are bent over at right angles and are very neatly laid down on the ground. That's how the term, my fame to this, I guess, is the term crop circle came out of my mouth, just simply to describe what ultimately, of course, doesn't describe what it is we're looking at, because now we have these agroglyphs, these large, intricate designs, which are much more than circles. But that's what they are, and they form in many kinds of vegetation, just about everything, and in just about every country in the world.
Well, I know we have some here in the United States, but not very many. I think the bulk of them remain in Britain. Is it because Britain raises so many crops that lend themselves to this, or what?
I don't think we've the answer to that, Haley. I think probably that's not the reason. I think certainly a very powerful correlation in the earlier years when we were looking, I think, more at the real phenomena, the more simple circles. And those simple circles appear in just about every country. They're not those that the media that are that interested in. Indeed, in many cases, the researchers either, because the intricacy has an appeal. But the most of these simple circles in a whole range of countries, a whole number of countries, they tended to be very close to water. There was a correlation of water and archaeological sites in the very close proximity. That doesn't fit every case, but it has been a very powerful correlation. But as far as numbers are concerned, certainly we're looking at still something like 85-90% of the world's total each year is in a very small area. They are across England in general and into Wales and Ireland, but in much lesser numbers outside of that central southern area around Stonehenge, where this large concentration is. That the geostructure, in other words, the ground, the soil, there in central southern England is chalk, which is actually a little unusual. This is a carbonaceous geostructure, which is actually a fossilized sea life. They're fossilized sea life, which ultimately over the years forms chalk. So in other words, this chalk, this material is a sponge which holds vast quantities of water underground. That may or may not be the reason why they're there, a contributory factor, maybe an energy which is available, electrostatic field buildup, perhaps, as a result of the moving contours underground. But we're looking, I mean, this year probably reflects the global distribution most years. At the top of the list again this year is the United Kingdom, England specifically, 75. In total, I mean, you could run down the list. Germany is not too far behind. Across the water in mainland Europe is running at 25 this year. Three is Italy. You're in Europe again at 17. The USA, I've only on my records, have 10. And this is a very large country. It is, of course, also possible that we don't have the networking because it is such a large country. That many of them go unreported. I'm almost certain that is the case. So it could be 10 reported and 100 on the ground. Who really knows? Poland at 9. And we run down through them where the numbers get much less. But Canada is covered, the Netherlands, Czechoslovakia, Slovenia, Switzerland, Sweden, Belgium, Mexico, Russia, and Austria, and I could go on. But these are lesser numbers.
And probably China.
Yes, indeed, China.
They're just not reported.
Red Army have reported them.
Really?
Yes.
I just flashed in my mind. Is there any correlation, you think, that Britain has so many because of the ley lines there?
That's a very interesting question. And I won't be able to give you an answer. I don't think anybody will. But dowsing, which seems to be the only tool, which, of course, is controversial, but it works. I've doused myself. And, of course, the ancients always did. That's how they found their water. That is the tool, the only tool that I'm aware of, that will actually specifically locate an energy line, which we call a ley line. You can see from these same alignments that the ancients used those lines that you can pick up on by dowsing to place churches and other burial grounds. And yes, I think there is a possibility that an invisible matrix that the Earth itself has inbuilt, we don't know whether that is manipulated into position by man-made constructions or other processes, or whether it is a natural matrix system of a living planet. It's a very interesting and diverse subject, but ley lines certainly are something that exists in that central southern area very extensively. There are many of them that connect these ancient sites, and that's indeed where these crop circles are forming.
All right, I want to wrap up the story of Blackbird. I want to talk about this year's crop circles. I want to talk about the movie that's going to be made about your life. There's just a lot of things I want to talk about. So give me just a couple of moments, and we'll continue with Colin Andrews. Billy Rose in for Vacationing George Norrie, and my guest, Colin Andrews. Colin, again, so much to talk about. I know that you, at the conference in San Francisco, you talked for some 2 or 3 hours about Operation Blackbird. I know you're going to be speaking again at Laughlin, Nevada in, I guess, February is the conference?
Yes, that's right.
And you'll be talking there for 2 or 3 hours. So we can't, you know, tell the whole story here, and I think we've pretty much, you know, covered the highlights of it, but I want to move on to other things. So is there something left unsaid about this that you want to get out?
Well, there is a very important part of it, which I don't think we need to talk about it now, but I think it needs to be defined as being there, Hilly, and that is the background and circumstances related to the so-called Blackbird hoax. We've talked about a secret operation at a secret venue, Silbury Hill. We've talked about the event that appeared, the circle, the complex design that appeared on the very first night that was put down as being a hoax simply to rubbish the whole thing. And we've talked about a real event on the night of the 3rd, 4th at that same public site. But what we've not talked about is I need to be sure that the public know that it's there, and I will go into in Nevada in detail, is the circumstances surrounding the creation of the so-called Blackbird hoax. It's a much bigger story than that. It simply isn't just a hoax. There's a story here which has been checked out in detail by a man who claims to have been involved with entities that it's a bizarre, crazy story, but it has been checked out. It's been, and I can give the backup to this.
And is that on your website or?
It is on the Blackbird CD, and obtaining access to that. I think I need to do this because I've laid myself somewhat open here tonight, and there's more to say. But for anybody who wants to really see the background to this, they do need to go to the website, print the page that the coast-to-coast button will take them to, and there they will see, and it's available to them, the assessment CD, which is the information in the background to the real versus the hoax. the Blackbird CD is there with the backup to what I've referred to tonight. Every image that has appeared on the planet is in the catalog, the Andrews catalog, and the Ministry of Defense own photographs, and the police their own photographs, and the photographs from 1983 right through to the 2004 is on the Cosmic Artist CD. So they have a wealth of information and the background to statements that I've made tonight.
Okay, so you're saying it's a big mystery, but it has to do, bottom line, with extraterrestrials.
I think that's where we are, that there is a not a well-defined line between our minds, the way that our mind functions, the reason that we're here, the plan, the overall plan, where we are all going, and the extraterrestrial involvement. These lines are not at all well-defined. And we must keep the parameters wide, but the bottom line, as in all things human beings do, if we are intended to grow as spiritual people, we must deal with the truth. As hard as it hurts, as deeply as it hits into our ego, it's the truth that will see us through this. If we continue to put in manipulated disinformation, mistruths, we will not make it.
Well,
we will not make it, and it's in the subject, Hilly. This is the crop circle phenomena has been given its own biosphere, which is easier to look at the human input, the honesty and the dishonesty within the confines of the subject, but it mirrors what's happening in the world. And here we've been given an opportunity to get it right and to witness what happens when we come through it with the truth. These examples of circles forming when you ask for them come only from an absolute base, genuine truth, as seeking the truth with disclosures of the truth. I'm rambling on a little here and in trying to say what I'm getting across here, but that really is my bottom line. What it has shown me is that we have the ingredients that's happening in the wider world within the confines of a single subject. I've seen this thing grow, and this is where this movie, I think, and I do hope, at the 11th hour, is going to give us something to... it's going to give us an opportunity to see the full extent of the military involvement, intelligence services, the people involved, and the phenomena itself. The story needs to be told. Documentaries have not done it.
Are you talking about circular evidence here?
I'm talking about the new movie that's being written right now and will be made by Renegade Pictures very soon.
All right, well, as long as we've raised it, I was going to talk about that in the next hour, but let's talk about it now. This is a movie of your life, is it correct? It's not just about crop circles.
Well, it's really the other way around, Hilly. They have used me. The executive director and joint owner of Renegade Pictures, Wood Dickinson, with his co-owner and filmmaker, Rich Ambler, they're well known in the movie business. They have been researching, have been interested in, and like much like pretty much just all of your listeners tonight, I would imagine, interested in the crop circle phenomenon. They've studied it. They've looked at the people. They've been quietly in the audiences at lectures around the world. They've studied it. And they feel now that they want to tell the story. They want to put it across, though just as Signs and Disney didn't, they intend to. And they were looking at individuals and ways they could do this, of hoaxers versus researchers, or how they would actually, bring it together. And so they finished up, unbeknown to me, in fact, in the same audience that you were in, Hilly, at that last conference there in San Francisco, was the executive director. I didn't know that. But he made his final decision that he would use my life as a way of telling the story, because he has seen how my life has been changed and impacted, good and bad, for over 20 years. And this, he feels, is the way to tell the story.
I don't want to get too personal here, but since it's going to be in the movie anyway, how has this impacted your life?
Is it a
matter of your marriage? Your wife just didn't believe in the things that you believed in, or
that, that, that is part of it, yes. It was a 22-year marriage, which disintegrated, finally, with, I guess, the time and the effort and the focus that I placed upon this subject, with the TV crews that were daily in our home and slowly breaking it apart, with large equipment coming and going. And then we had these intruder alarms, which a movie has already been made about, these intruder security alarms going off in our home at the same time every night. Totally bizarre. Infrared detectors, microwave detectors, waking us all up. The police being called automatically on automatic dialers. Since I began to research the phenomena, it began one night when I brought samples back to the home, and it went on for two continuous weeks. And this finally did it. This was enough, and I was given basically the two options of it's me or it's it. I was too deeply involved in the research to let it go. It was a final disintegration, and that saw my marriage gone. I had very, very close professional relationships, obviously, in my government job, and distancing definitely took place as I appeared more and more on television and radio talking about the mysterious crop circles and UFOs and things that we were seeing and finding. And there was a distancing there, and eventually I was told that you know, three-quarters of the phone calls, even though I was a senior officer there, that are coming into this building are for you, and it's crop circles, it's not the business of local government. And you really, it's time, I think, you need to start making some choices. And it went on like this, right the way across the board. It was affected at every level, and I left my country eventually and to a new and happy marriage here in the United States. To Cynthia, you know, up on the East Coast here.
Sounds to me like you're other directed too. Meaning
at times I wonder. I mean, it's another program, Hilly. But yes, I do feel at times that it does feel that way. I've been led to certain individuals magically, to the indigenous people. I've felt not only an affinity, but you know, if I feel that they should be given input somehow or other, we seem to find the right people very quickly. They seem to step in front of us. I had a feeling of, in fact, it was not more than a feeling. When Pat Delgado and I walked down the street in central London into Bloomsbury's publishing house in 1989, we knew we had a best-selling book in Circular Evidence. There's some things you know, and we did. And we said to one another as we walked, a movie will be made of this. This subject is important. It impacts at the deepest level. That a movie will be made. And I knew a movie would be made. And this, my very last public appearance, as you know, was in San Francisco. I've now since been asked to do more because of Blackbird. But that was my very last appearance in 22 years. And in the audience is the movie maker. And that's how it keeps on going.
You know, a lot of movies are supposed to be made but don't get made.
No.
Is this one really going to get made?
Well, I've signed contracts. That's as much as I can really say. It's being written. This is the project. It's on their website. It's planned to happen. But you are right. The movie business is, indeed, even when they've got it in the can, I've already did a movie with Britain, A Place to Stay, which was a British movie filmed in the Cannes, appeared at Cannes, and at the Sun, I can't remember the big film festival now, Sundance. But however, it didn't get released. So I hope this will, and it's intended to.
All right, Colin, thank you very much for telling us about this. I want to find out in the next hour about the crop of circles from 2005, a number of other things about your selling your database. I want to find out about that. And we'll take lots more phone calls. And we are talking with Colin Andrews, a man who has built a very impressive record over some 20 years of investigating crop circles, worked for on a grant for Lawrence Rockefeller for 3 years, and has... was involved with the British government, tremendous background, and you have over those many years, Colin, put together a tremendous database. Now, all scientific research these days works from a database. It's on a computer somewhere. And, you know, I am surprised that you are now trying to sell this database going from 1983 to 2005. First of all, what's in this database? And secondly, why are you trying to sell it?
It's really a matter of desperation. What is in the database? There are actually many databases that are talking to one another. They're cross-referenced, so you have somewhere in the range of 40,000 individual photographs that are my copyright, so that they can be worked upon and disseminated without having to go through copyright procedures for others researching it. So it's a self-contained library of photographs from the air and from the ground over since 1983. It actually also does, of course, include Ministry of Defense and police photographs that I've been given access to, and other people's too, which would require other permissions outside of the, you know, to work them outside of the research. But there are all of the details, all of the findings, the measurements, the compass bearings, the magnetometer readings, the results that have come back that have been made public from the Levengood camp and from many other camps. So it's really the whole thing, all of the early videos, the very first and unique videos, movie footage of these on the ground and, again, from the air. It takes up four rooms, one office that I had to lease with all of the, you know, the three computers that work on this day in, day out. It takes up much of my home. And we've reached a point, Hilly, where the public, yes, are fascinated. There's still a tremendous interest, but funding has reached a zero point, and literally zero point. I had, prior to Rockefeller's generous input, and indeed the royal family in Germany also did help helped me to research for a period of 2 years, and others have made small contributions which have been very helpful. But I've spent all of my own money. My family right now, for the last many years, have only survived as a result of my very hardworking wife. And frankly, this has reached an end point. It is a great sadness. I'm embarrassed, personally embarrassed, to have it up on eBay. It's actually just come off of eBay, to be up for sale, to make it available to an institute that I hope would put it all under one roof, make it available to the public at a cost. And the cost is because, of course, that's where all my money went. It's cost many more thousands than the figure that placed on eBay, which was 250,000. Anybody that knows what's involved, at £1,000 an hour for a four-seater helicopter per hour, and I've spent thousands upon thousands of hours in helicopters and aircraft. I've traveled the world at my own expense, and so the money has run out, and whilst I am personally not broke, I have no more money to put to the research, and so therefore, this is out of sheer desperation. Rather than sit in my garage and in a leased office, which I have now to, in fact, I have just closed the office, and it is just a matter of saying to the world, if this means something, to future research, step forward the person that can pay a small part of what it costs and make it available to the public for future research. I am willing and prepared and wanting to continue the work, but until or unless that happens, that something comes forward, I have to move on to what is also in my heart, and that is the environment and social behavior, which I'm very interested in.
You say this was on eBay, but is off?
Yes, it goes up for, I don't know very much about eBay. I didn't actually personally handle it. Pam Jones, a friend down in San Francisco, did. she is the contact, has been the contact for it. But apparently, when you place on eBay, you prescribe for a certain length of time, and the bids go right through to the end, and that's the end of it. There were no bids. Many people showed interest. They have said if they had the money, they would do it in a snap. But it didn't sell, and it is now off, and I'm securing and wrapping and boxing everything for safety's sake. And those locations, filling the vast majority. In fact, just yesterday, I was carrying many hundreds of video VHS tapes of what has to be, Hilly, if this is ultimately an important mystery for us, for mankind, invaluable information. Invaluable. But here it is, and nothing's being done with it.
Well, have you spoken to the Smithsonian, for example, or the National Geographic?
I haven't spoken to National Geographic. I'm not sure whether they received the circular either. I have given all lists and lists of very wealthy people, actually, who I know personally. I mean, I have friends that are very wealthy and people that have helped so far. But I guess, you know, times are changing and priorities are changing, and I can't really answer why maybe it's a dislike of even the approach to the research. I don't know. I just simply can say that I've given it my best shot, and this is where we are.
All right, Colin, we have a number of people that would like to chat with you, so please hang in there, and we will take calls right after this. Hilly Rose in for Vacationing George Norrie. Guest is Colin Andrews, and let's go to the first-time caller line. Hi, where are you calling from, sir?
I am calling from the truck. I'm a truck driver for the UK folks. It's Laurie.
Okay.
Question for him was any of the nutrients in the crops drained of the nutrients that were in them after, you know, with the ones that were done not by the by man made?
The answer to that, not being the plant expert, but certainly the reports that I've seen, the results of the analysis, shows that their expulsion cavities, which are considered to be significant, where the contents, some of the internal contents of the plants, including, of course, some of the nutrients, but I don't think that's the way that you're asking the question, have actually been exploded out of the plant through very small holes, like a small explosion, an internal increase in temperature has caused a cavity to form where the contents, or some of the contents of the plant, has left and it's been exploded out of the plant. These are very small holes, and therefore some of the nutrients have left in that manner. But the nutritional content of the plant literally evaporating and being reduced in some mysterious way, I'm not aware that that has happened. My own experience, and that is simply by observing what I see in the field, Mr. Leavenworth would have a more complete scientific answer for this, presumably, and that is that ever since we've been looking at them, what I have observed is that in the more simple designs, those that I cannot find any evidence of being made by people, the nutritional quality of the plants, I would say, has improved because the plants are a darker color green. They are more healthy. They mature more quickly. It is a Leavenworth result that the root structure is more complete and more extensive in those that he considers to be made by a non-human hand. I think the answer probably is that the nutritional content is improved, whatever that really actually means.
Okay, thank you much. That's a very good answer, by the way.
Thank you.
Let's go to the wild card line and say where you're calling from, please. Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Are you there? Hello? Nobody there? You sure?
Are you listening to me?
I'm talking to you, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the line was open to me.
Yeah.
Well, hi there. I'm Suzanne Taylor. Hilly, we knew each other years ago. I can't quite remember why. And I didn't sound like this. I've got a bad cold. But...
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. But anyway, hello. Hello, Colin.
Hi, Suzanne.
You know, I'm sitting listening to the whole show, and I'm concerned about your listeners thinking that some of the material that Colin is presenting as factual data is just not supported by the facts. His 80-20 theory and his commentary about the Levin Good not turning in accurate research results, these are things that Colin has made up. And
I think I really did ought to break in at that point.
Sure.
I mean, well, because, Suzanne, you know you're live. This is on air. What you're saying is totally untrue and is libelous, I would suggest.
Well, I would
you must allow me to give you an answer, because it is known to some of your listeners that you follow me around the world with these kind of accusations that you've made a movie, and there's all kinds of background to this that the listeners will not be aware of as an individual. But what I've stated is absolutely solid data. You've said it is not true. The information that I've related to Levingood's blind testing is with Levingood. BLT have received these results, as did Mr. Rockefeller. That is absolutely factual. There's nothing I've said tonight that is not factual. And if you have evidence that it is not factual, please state it on air.
Okay. Well, I don't want to get involved.
No, but it's very unfortunate, you see, because this is because Suzanne is coming from a camp where she believes everything is real, and she's entitled to that, and I respect that. But to receive personal slating of this kind simply because I have another view is not the way forward, and I think this needs to be said to her on air, because I respect what she's doing, but what advantage is it to her or to anybody else to accuse me of lying on your program tonight when that is not true?
All right. I don't want to get involved in this,
Colin. No, of course
Colin,
not. And I don't either, Hilly.
Well, the only point I do want to make out of this is there are many, many, many factions in this crop circle search, which is unfortunate because there are a lot of people, and I don't know about this lady at all. Not meaning I am not talking to her. I am talking to the various people that I have interviewed over the years who are self-aggrandizing, meaning they have the answer. Theirs is the way to go. And I think it's very, very unfortunate. Of course, you know, you are presenting your point of view.
That's all I'm
doing. After 20 years of research.
That's all I'm doing.
Okay, and that's fine. And what I'm saying is it is unfortunate to me, and I find this in ufology as well, of people who somehow they fight each other rather than going out to seek the truth of whatever it is that's happening.
Yeah.
And so you just taking it away from crop circles for the moment, it bothers me a great deal, Colin, since I've been in this business for so many years of investigating and reporting, that there are so many people willing to say nasty things about other people. Who's right, I don't want to get into. That's not the issue. That's not my business.
No.
But it does confuse the general public, and
it
I think that's unfortunate. I want to know the truth before I die. I want to know.
Me too.
Yeah, I want to know, what are UFOs?
Are
they some electrical impulse that we don't understand, or are they really there by extraterrestrials?
Yeah.
You know, was Sitchin right earlier tonight when he said that the film are going to come back?
I know. I was listening. Yeah.
You know, I'd like to know the answer to all these things.
Yeah, me too.
And it bothers me terribly. Colin, as I do these program after program after program, and there really aren't any answers.
No.
And I was going to make this point to you, at the end of the program, but I'll make it now. You've been at this for 20 years, Colin.
Yeah.
And you cannot tell me with any specificity of what's going on with those crop circles.
No, I can't. What we haven't talked about, Hilly, and I think we did in our last program, something is going on. I mean, this is what Suzanne is missing. We're all the time we're arguing on trying to convince one another of different our individual point of view. We're missing the fact something is going on. I mean, the interaction is what we haven't talked about. Well, I guess we did touch upon it when I asked for a Celtic cross and it appeared. This is extensive. Suzanne probably has her own stories that go with this. You know, when you put a request out there, as it were, pray for something, and it appears. The interactive aspect of this is the core of the phenomena. I become speechless with the anger, the disrespect for one another that is shown within the ranks. It's just so off-putting. I won't engage it personally. I don't go looking for it. I would not have called in, as that lady just did, to her show. It's not anything I want to get involved in.
All right, let's move along here.
Sure.
To Wildcard Line and say hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
This is Jack, and I'm listening to you on KX 1190 AM.
Good station.
Good evening, Hilly.
Colin. Hi.
Thanks for taking
good
my call. I'm not hearing anyone in the crop circle discussion talk about the most obvious explanation, that some of these crop circles are formed from anti-ballistic missile weapons calibration made by masers, which are focused microwave generators, or lasers hung from gimbals on high-altitude balloons. This is referred to as the high-altitude balloon experiment. It's a part of the Star Wars project. They're testing a weapon. The rest is disinformation to confuse the public and keep this secret. It makes a heck of a lot more sense to believe these things are being made by the military to test a weapon than to believe that they're being made by aliens.
Well, I have heard that theory put forward before. It is an interesting one. It is indeed one that is still on the list here of possibilities. I personally have some doubts. It's not to say that I don't feel that it should be looked at. I do believe that we should look at it. The military put a lot of stuff up there we're not aware of. I agree with you. But where I have a problem is that for certain, this mystery, the crop circles themselves, head back into time when I doubt they had them up there. Around the time of Sputnik, we're looking at 60s, early 70s, when crop circles were appearing. They've been appearing, you know, recorded. I mean, solid evidence of them appearing well before the time that this kind of technology, as far as I am aware, was up there.
Well,
and, you know, I would also, just to add very briefly, that we have military areas in Europe, as you do here, down in Nevada and other places, where they are able and capable of experimenting with such technology without sticking them right alongside I-95 or, you know, a major highway near Stonehenge. And you know, there is also the question of lateral movement. When you beam something like microwave, it's not a problem with constructing a geometry depending upon angle and the magnitude of your energy, but you still require a lateral movement to place these things into this geometry with plants that are laid in one direction. So I have some difficulty with it, but nonetheless, I guess who knows what they're up to.
Okay, so all the time we have in this portion of the program, Colin, if you'll hang in there just another half hour. My guest, wrapping us up in this final half hour, is Colin Andrews, who has withstood the slings and arrows and all the rest of it, and I appreciate that, Colin.
Thank you. So before I
do anything else, let me try and uncomplicate something in my head here.
Yeah.
You've told me that you're selling the database, but by that same token, on your website, you are selling CDs and other things. So are they part of the database, or what is it that's going on here?
Yeah, what's going on is that I am personally trying at the 11th hour to find sufficient funds to hold on, basically, and to keep it moving forward. But I doubt somehow we're going to pull it off. I mean, the cost of research, especially in England with the aircraft charges, et cetera, are extremely substantial. But what the CDs that are for sale now, it backs up my parting shots, basically my conclusions on the phenomena. This is information that the public have to have if they're able to make any assessment. It's something that obviously, clearly, your last caller didn't have. Suzanne Taylor clearly has not seen the assessment, the Blackbird CD, the images catalogued, the Cosmic Artists. This is where the evidence is. This is where the data is. And that's what I'm trying to do is, firstly, make available from the database before it goes wherever it's going, whether it's going to be wrapped up and sealed for life, whether it finishes up in a university or an institute. This is information on the website tonight that I feel the public must have access to. Beyond this, it will be a close down as far as my research is concerned. And the database, is for as long as I can hold on to it and make it safe, will be available for whoever steps forward to work with it.
Okay, and the access to that is, what is your website again?
It's www.cropcircleinfo, that's standing for information, cropcircleinfo.com.
Got it. All right, let's go to the international line and say good morning. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Uh-huh. Your first name, sir?
Jason.
Jason, all right. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Well, my question is that you spend all this money and time investigating crop circles and extraterrestrial, and somehow it always ends up that there's military that is covering up and hiding. Why is there no investigation that ever proves that the military is actually doing that? I'm sure it would be easy enough to prove something like that.
Well, it's proven in the sense that, well, first of all, I think the only way I can come at this is that when you're looking at anybody being secretive and planning to make something not easily accessible, then that's what they set out to do, and they're often successful. I mean, anybody, and there will be hundreds who are listening to the program tonight, I would imagine, that were certainly well aware of what's going on at Blackbird. We had the public, when it was made eventually public, were appearing around our caravan and our surveillance equipment in the hundreds. And there were many researchers involved. There were 30 of us there involved in the shift that were manning the project, and all of them saw photographs have been taken. It's on the Blackbird CD of the military there in uniform. I have access to the film. I've seen the film and the frames on the CD. What I cannot demonstrate to you, I simply cannot get at showing you, proving to you, and have them step forward to say, we did this, and they're never going to do it. I'm not able to say to a lieutenant or a colonel or whatever, come on to the Coast to Coast program with tonight, and acknowledge to the public that you removed and you asked me to remove this videotape. They're not going to do it. They're much more likely to put people on the air to rubbish me and to discredit me than they are to come forward and tell you the truth. It's not that easy. I mean, you're suggesting that it's easy to come forward with that kind of evidence. I strongly suggest it isn't. That's what the debate on Iraq is about right now. And we're talking about countries and nations involved in lies that you can't get to. You cannot reach. It's not that easy. When people with the ability, facility, and resource plan a lie, it's a lie. And it's just very hard for people like myself to demonstrate to you, I'm a guy like you. I'm out here doing the best I can. It's simply just not easy to provide that kind of evidence.
Okay, thank you. You know, the stories that are coming out now about this disinformation are fantastic. There are stories coming out about Roswell, about the disinformation that was put out by the government on that. And there are many other stories coming out about disinformation. People that are fed lines by the government,
yeah,
and they move, they swallow them hook, line, and sinker, and say, hey, look at this, you know, wow, the government's told me this. As you point out, it's very difficult to separate the chaff from the wheat. That's
it
for
really,
sure.
Really is. I think it is very wise that nobody believe anything, and to get out there and do the best they can themselves. I don't mean that. I don't mean to be. I'm not being rude on that. I'm simply saying, maybe to your last caller and others who might be thinking it, don't believe anything that I'm saying, go out there, you know, phone the Rockefeller Center, phone the people that have been given the data that Suzanne was talking about. This information exists. It makes a, takes a phone call for me. It takes a phone call for you. And, you know, it's a matter of checking it out. We're in a world full of deception, and I work through this myself every day. I cannot abide it personally. I'm a person that wants the truth, and you become very unpopular in seeking that, too, let me tell you.
Is there a Rockefeller Center that we can go to?
There really isn't. That was a slip on my part.
Okay.
No, Lawrence Rockefeller passed away, I think now 2 years ago.
So I just wonder if there's a museum or, you know, a library.
No, I don't think there is, Hilly.
Okay.
He has his own PR people. There will be people that will, if you phone the Rockefeller Center and ask for a PR person dealing with Lawrence Rockefeller's business, who will know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Let's go east of the Rockies. Hi, where are you calling from?
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
I guess I'm on. This is Ron, mm-hmm. and I'm calling from Rochester, but Colin knows me from Syracuse when we discussed the 1993 crop circle called the Columbia Formation.
Oh, hi, Ron.
Hi. I wanted to put a good word in for Colin because I've never questioned his integrity.
Thank you.
He comes from an engineering background, and as an engineer, he's always been very analytical and tried to look at every aspect of something. So
that's very kind. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, and in terms of disinformation and deception, I have a little saying myself. Fox Mulder used to use the one, the truth is out there, and my favorite one is that the lie is different at every level of government.
Okay,
I like that.
That said, I do have a question.
Okay.
There were actually two, but let me pick a little different one. I have seen a videotape of this this confrontation between the RAF helicopter and an orb, which appeared in a crop formation.
Yes.
And they did a little dance with each other. And I've always wondered what Colin's take on that was in terms of what was actually happening and what that orb was. Was that something that he could explain or not?
It's not anything I can explain other than it certainly looked to be identical to all of the other orbs that have been filmed in that same area. The film that Ron is referring to was an orb filmed by a small team that I was with. He was a scientist himself who was actually holding the camera. And we were alongside the famous East Field at Alton Barnes, not too far from Stonehenge, in central southern England, when we were looking at two crop formations that were in the field, and suddenly at low level, a very large military army helicopter came in directly up to us, and with its rotor blades within feet of us, this is all on film, it's been seen on television a number of times, was trying to move us out the area, although we were on a public highway, trying to move us back, and nearly hit the landscape himself. He nearly hit the hill that we were stood on, and a second helicopter came in. They were clearly in touch with one another by radio. The second helicopter, also we filmed this, made its way directly to a small orb that was at the back of the field, and the orb was in front of the helicopter. The helicopter made its way to it, and in just a matter of one or two frames of the film, suddenly the orb disappears. It just goes out. It's not there, and then appears behind the helicopter. And my opinion is that the helicopter that was keeping us out of the field was telling the other helicopter that the object was now behind it. Because the pilot, you can see on the footage, is trying, he doesn't know whether to back up to go where he's being told to go, onto the object, or to rotate on its own axis, and he's doing a bit of both. And as he then gets, it reestablishes contact visually with that object, which could only be a matter of feet in front of him, it simply disappeared altogether. So it's a fascinating piece of footage. But that's as much as I can say about it. I do think that the military were involved in some kind of operation with that orb. They knew it was there. They clearly knew it was there. And there was something else going on. We're just not in receipt of all of the information. I think the military in England are much more involved with trying to decipher what's going on than we're aware of.
All right. Guest is Colin Andrews. I'm Hilly Rose in for George Norrie. Colin, I don't know where the time has gone, but it's just gone.
It has, Hilly.
A question that I've been meaning to ask you all night is the 2005 crop circles, one season just passed.
Yeah.
Anything unusual about it? Were they the same type of fractal designs? And, was there anything at all different in 2005?
Yeah, there always is something different. The themes tend to change year by year without going into the whether it's real or whether it's man-made. What's out there, which I think is everything has to be embraced if we're to really come through this, they change. And some years it will be triangles, other times it will be astronomical or astronomy kind of designs. This year, what has changed in England is that they moved through a series of various patterns, but culminated in, first of all, a design which was a Mayan character, and then a few days later, a second design which included the character, but many times as independent, individual elements within the very complex Mayan type Aztec pattern. And then a third one, again, becoming even more complex, but clearly Mayan Aztec as a theme. Jaime Massan, again, to mention his name, I greatly respect him, mm-hmm. went over and had a look at those particular designs. And he is indeed working on a theory with a number of other people down in Mexico that, in fact, he seems to be saying that there is a date that he can put on that is being suggested by these patterns this year in England, an eclipse of some kind occurring on the 20th of May. He doesn't say yet which year. He is saying he's going to be releasing more information soon. I don't know any more on that than that. But how many minutes have we got, Hilly? Because there's something I'd like to refer to on that, if it's possible.
Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes.
Do we? I think that this Mayan connection starts with something that your listeners might not be aware of. The Aztec Mayan, the elder in Mexico, Tlacael, is a very elderly man now in his 90s, who I've met a number of times, arrived unexpectedly in my offices in Connecticut in early 90s, I believe 95 at the top of my head, and he came there with two interpreters, and he asked, had I seen a design that he had drawn, and he showed me in the database. The background was that he was driving in a car across Mexico. He was being driven in a car, and in his head, and this is where we're getting into the funny stuff again, he was told he has to find this design, which he sketched. It was given to him, and there was a sentence that came with it, and it was, this pattern would be at the place of the last ceremonial dance. And he came to Connecticut, asked me if I'd seen this. I had not. It was not in the records. Before, actually, that's not quite true. As he left my office, the door closed at the bottom of the stairs. My teleprinter, my fax machine started up. Reg Presley of the Trox Pop Group, who was my friend, was faxing me the design that had just appeared at that place that I've been referring to all night, Silbury Hill. And that design was the design that the Aztec, the elder Tlacael, had just left my office looking for, had appeared at Silbury Hill that day, which was indeed a place of ceremony, which is about the only thing they know about it, the ceremonies that is recorded there. Now, that was the site, that was 1995, of where this year the Aztec and the Mayan designs have shown up in all their glory. So, there are many pieces to all of this. That was a man sent there by information he was given in his mind, in his head, was given that this was the place. And indeed, this is the place that if I were to put my finger on anywhere, we should have our cameras now and be studying in the future. It is Silbury Hill near Avebury in Wiltshire.
Because
We have real events going on there. The military are monitoring the station. They have equipment in that area. This is where the secret site was set up during Blackbird. That's right back in 1990, where real crop circles appeared. It's where they recorded the UFOs. The people that live in the two little houses, people that have visited Silbury, will be aware of what I'm talking about. Near the lay-by there, on the edge, overlooking that beautiful archaeological site, two houses that have witnessed and experienced over the years strange going-ons there with lights in the skies, and sounds coming from the fields, and the patterns appearing. This, I think, is much the epicenter of the crop circle phenomena, the part of it that we need to be studying.
And you mentioned noise a moment ago, or sounds.
Sound, yeah.
The only we really haven't talked about that at all, and I just have a couple of minutes here. But there is this strange series of sounds that people hear when these crop circles are making themselves.
Yes, reported by the eyewitnesses, which are important people if we're to believe them. They hear the sound. I've heard it twice myself. I've recorded it. BBC recorded it once, and I was there. I recorded it at Operation White Crow before the Blackbird surveillance operation in 1989. It's been analyzed by the BBC. Their footage, their sound was recorded. Ours was analyzed in Sussex University. Comes out at 5.2 kilohertz in audible frequency. It's the same thing. Whatever it is, it's a sound which in America you would I think this is the closest sound I can get to allow your listeners to appreciate it, would be a little bit like the crickets that you have here, which we don't have in England. We have these little grasshoppers, but here you have the cricket sound. It's a continuous, though. This is not it doesn't break it with interludes and interruptions like the cricket does, the insect, but this is a continuous kind of purring sound. It's a little bit electrostatic. It sounds a little bit metallic. It sounds a little bit like a high energy, which is maybe a high voltage between an anode and a cathode. Just before you get the discharge or the bang and the discharge, you get that little purring in the ionization period, and it's the same kind of sound.
Wow.
It's a very bizarre sound, but I'm sure is the sound associated with the crop circle construction.
Okay, Colin, quickly, again, your website?
www.cropcircleinfo.com.
Thank you so very much for spending these hours with us.
Thank you, Ellie.
Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you very much, and a happy Christmas to you and the listeners.
I think that's not politically correct, but it's okay.
But then we're not, are we?
Are we? Good night, Colin.
Good night, Ellie.
Well, that's it, folks. As they say, that's all. That's not politically correct either anymore, is it? Poor Porky Pig, I tell you. All right, we've done our best. We want to thank Steve and David for running the controls and answering the phones and keeping my head on straight here tonight. This is Kelly Rose in for George Norrie, wishing you a kind and gentle Christmas and New Year.